Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
Hey, happy Wednesday. I'm doing great. Busy week in NFL, so good stuff.
Oh, yeah, just the, you know, roster cuts down to 53, you know, basically over the last 3 weeks, half the people NFL training camps have lost their jobs. And, yeah, some retain on practice squads. But, you know, that's kind of ho-hum saying that. But, I mean, it is kind of certainly probably the most difficult time of year for NFL teams. I'm sure the coaching staffs and the general managers having to release these players, I mean, that's never fun. I'm sure they all unanimously say that's their least favorite part of the job. But, again, competition, that's the essence of sport, and all these roster spots were fought for, and the winners emerged. So we're going to kind of talk about today. What does the Packers 53-man roster look like, and also talk about the 16-player practice squad they have for the 2021 season. I thought that was a pretty good intro, Jesse. Any just general thoughts you want to start with?
No, I mean, you know, some big surprises. You know, guys like Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams made the team, so that's good news that they're going to be playing with us this year. But let's go through it.
Well, yeah, start at quarterback, right? Start in the offense. It's always about the quarterbacks. And I think it's what we expected this year. No Tim Boyle, the master quarterback play of Tim Boyle to prevent Jordan Love from being the backup. But they only kept two quarterbacks on the active roster, unlike last season when they did have three. Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. Also, no surprise at running back, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, Kylan Hill. I think those five spots we expected, okay, they're going to just spend those five spots on quarterback, running back, and those are going to be the five names. So I don't, do we even really need to address anything there? I feel like we kind of talked about that already, and so no surprises at all there.
Yeah, just moving along, that's, you know, no one was surprised. Some people are thinking we should keep three quarterbacks. Wasn't going to happen. This roster had too many other positions we had to cover. So, yeah, moving along.
I hated keeping three quarterbacks last year. Don't do that again. If only they just hung on to DeShone Kizer. Okay, we'll stop that. It's Jordan Love. Jordan Love's there. He's the backup. Don't worry about DeShone Kizer anymore, Kyle. Worry about wide receiver, because teams are going to have to worry about this receiving core, really, opposing defenses. I mean, Davante Adams, it's always, sure, keeps opposing defensive coordinators up, gives them nightmares constantly, opposing defensive backs, too. And really, four of the five spots behind him were pretty safe. I mean, obviously, they just drafted Amari Rodgers in the third round. There was no, like, his spot was locked. They traded for Randall Cobb, and there's still some guaranteed money on the contract. They didn't, you know, the Texans retained some, but the Packers still on basically whatever they got is guaranteed. So they traded for Cobb knowing he was making the team. Valdez, Scantling, Lazard, while the contracts, there's not much guaranteed left. Final years of the rookie deal for Scantling and the 1 year restricted free agent deal for Lazard, it's still their play dictates that they were going to make the team. So really, like, those five were secure. I think we again talked about that, Jesse, hadn't we? That we were really looking for, are they going to keep six and or seven, and then who are going to be that one or two players? Really, those were the only questions we had.
The reason why we kept six, because I thought Juwan Winfrey really had a shot to make this team. He got hurt. So, you know, that kind of probably dictated a little bit to what they were going to do. But Malik Taylor, you know, I tip my hat to him. He led the league in receiving yards in the preseason, which, okay, you could say it's preseason, but he went against the Bills' number one defense in Tre'Davious White, who is a top 10 corner in this league, and he held his own and got separation. So Malik Taylor really impressed me. So that's he deserved to make this team. So I tip my hat to him. He was that last spot where, you know, we kind of thought, yeah, you know, who's going to make it? You know, St. Brown obviously got cut. You know, they gave him his chances. You know, I think in this case, that St. Brown had NFL experience, just couldn't stay healthy and put it all together. So went with six, and Taylor got that last spot. Good for him.
Malik Taylor making the last wide receiver spot. Sorry, I just had a 2020 flashback, but essentially the same thing happened last year. I know I was all in on Bengleton, but, you know, Malik Taylor made that initial 53-man roster last season and has done the same this season. So kudos to Taylor.
Yes, sir.
And, I mean, with St. Brown, like Winfrey, and, I mean, I know you were really rooting for Winfrey there, it seemed like St. Brown also dealt with an injury, and like you mentioned with Winfrey on the practice squad, St. Brown is there as well, which also shows, you know, which I'm almost a little surprised with St. Brown. I wondered the former sixth-round pick that, you know, the talent certainly was much higher than that. I figured someone might give him a shot right to the active roster, but I guess not right now. I think practice squad this year. Maybe that's a little trickier this year with certain protocols, COVID protocols and things like that. But yeah, it's a little shock to see, but he's still with the Packers in terms of practice squad. So if someone goes down, Winfrey, St. Brown, once they both get healthy, I know there's also Chris Blair on that practice squad at wide receiver, but you got to think between St. Brown and Winfrey, whoever's healthier and ready to go, if they're both ready to healthy go, then it's a contest for that. Who's that first call-up if there is an unfortunate injury to one of the top six? But yeah, Malik Taylor making it. I think, you know, Amari Rodgers looks to be playing on special teams, returning at times as well. I think he might even be the starting punt returner right now.
He looks like he's penciled in to do that. And I'm surprised you forgot your boy Reggie Bagleton too, because he's also on the practice squad. And he's the one that stayed healthy. So if somebody goes down, he might get his shot before Winfrey or St. Brown. So he's around yet also.
Damn, I missed that one, actually. Hooray. Okay, Bengleton's there. So, okay, so he's not going back to the Stampeders this season? All right, okay. We've seen that sometimes where, especially like this year, the CFL season's running late. Like, normally this is halfway through the season instead of week five. So, like, that also could have been a thing where if he got cut, I could see him, like, coming up north and play out the rest of the season. Some depth on the practice squad. So even though they only kept six, I also think that even without the practice squad, it seems like there's also some good talented receivers that got released on other NFL teams. Like, it's easier to replace that right now, whether it's from the practice squad or just street free agents. It seems like they can more easily sign any wide receiver to come in and fill roles. Whereas I guess at other positions where they're really, you know, very specific roles and they have players set where that they want, they have the depth they need on the team. We'll get to that shortly. It's one position group in particular where it seems like this is what we want to use this year. And I mean, if we have to go outside, sure, but they're really cognizant in keeping extra players to make sure they've got the group. But yeah, six wide receivers, again, Devontae Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers, and that sixth spot, Malik Taylor, once again, making the team. So good for Malik Taylor, who, again, my point with Amari Rodgers returning, though, Malik Taylor also playing special teams, playing a key role, knowing that not only is he useful as a wide receiver, but also as a special teams player, and look for him to see some serious snaps this year.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, special teams, as bad as it's been on this team, hopefully they can turn the corner, but these guys contribute there. I don't think either one looked really great on returning, but at least they offered that. So, good group. And I guess before we go, like you said, you know, this is the initial first 53, but everybody is kind of looking at other practice squads and guys being released. So you might see a few moving parts here at the bottom of this roster, which is a good thing, right? You're always trying to build your best 53.
Yeah. So we'll move on now to the other main receiving position, tight ends. They kept five tight ends technically. Now, part of this is Jay Sternberger on the 2-game suspension. They were able to keep him off the 53 or not have him count towards the 53. So, I mean, there's another player that also has a different designation, but the same similar sentiment. So technically, there's 55 players we'll be talking about. Not that you can drive 55 players down. You have to cut down to 53 once they're eligible. Do listen to Sammy Hager there, but. So Sternberger for the first 2 games of the season, not counting towards the roster. I am curious to see after 2 games what will happen. But as of right now, Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, Deshaya DeGuara, and Dominic Daphne are on the active roster. And my quick takeaway, Jesse, is Daphne's got 2 games to prove himself irreplaceable. And if he does, could we see Sternberger get cut coming off the suspension? Is that possible to get demoted to the practice squad and maybe get poached? Or do you think Sternberger's coming back no matter what? Did he kind of earn his spot? And Daphne is really maybe not even competing against Sternberger, but really competing against another player at a different position and forcing them to say, we're going to keep five tight ends. What do you think's happening once Sternberger's off the 2-game suspension?
I think the luckiest thing that happened to Sternberger was he got suspended, because the reason why on the suspended list, I was reading that, you know, instead of cutting him outright, you save a little bit of money. Cause I think when he comes off, I don't think he's around. I don't think he did himself any favors this preseason. He didn't look like he stood out. I think he's the odd man out. I really do. They kicked the tires for him, you know, and gave him opportunities, and he just didn't produce. Where guys like Daphne and Josiah DeGuara can also play that H-back position. They block. Sternberger really struggles at that. Unless one of those guys really plays bad or gets hurt, he might be the odd man out. I really think so.
I almost wonder, could this be trade bait? We just saw Chris Herndon get traded to the Vikings, so division rival. It's unlikely the Vikings would have offered this trade to the Packers, but I think it was a fourth with a sixth coming back. So, you know, a 2-round jump basically for a 2-round drop, I guess, for the Vikings' sake, in exchange for getting Herndon. Like, if the Packers could ever do something like that, or even just like a sixth straight up, something cheap, I think is worth it, because maybe he does just get cut after the 2-game suspension. I guess the Packers aren't on the, I guess the cap, it doesn't count for these 2 games, right? Like, his suspension salary isn't going against the cap, so there's less dead cap. I guess that makes sense to me. So good read there, Jesse. Thanks for informing us.
Yeah, and I really do, you know, any return, if they could shop him, I'd take it. Like you said, if you can get a sixth or a seventh, I don't think he's going to get, you know, garner more than that. But yeah, any kind of capital you can get for him, I'd take it, you know. And nothing against Jace, you know, I wish him the best. He just struggled and didn't earn his spot to me. Now, I could be totally wrong, but that's just my take on it.
So now, looking at the offensive line, this is a very interesting group of how they decided to keep this and structure this. So technically, again, and this is counting 55 players, they technically kept 10 offensive linemen. Now, one of those is David Bakhtiari. They didn't put him on the injured reserve, but they were able to put him on the physically unable to perform list. I don't know, like, why other teams don't do that more often, like why the Packers, like last year, they decided not to do it with Equanimeous St. Brown. I wonder if the physically unable to perform designation has to do with the timing of the injury, because he technically was injured last year, right? So because he's been recovering, I wonder if it does that allow him to access this PUP list, so they don't have to worry about the IR, because if they put him on IR right now, he wouldn't be, like, before, if they put him on IR before announcing the 53 and, like, didn't have him count towards that, he would then be ineligible to play at all this year. So the putting him on the PUP brings him back after 6 weeks. So I guess, are they allowed to do that because of the timing of the injury? Like, can you clarify for us at all?
Yeah, so with the IR, if you put him on before you initially do your 53, he's out for the whole year. If you put him on it, it cannot be for the same injury. So that's why it had to be the PUP, because the way I understand it, if it's IR, it's the whole year before the 53. Otherwise, if it's after that, it has to be a different injury. So obviously it wouldn't be a different injury. This is the injury that he had from last year. So the PUP is physically unable to perform. So that's why it has to be the 6 weeks. He can be back week 7. So, which obviously Packers are very conservative with their players. They really must have thought he couldn't come back. You know, if it was like week 3, they probably would have kept him on the roster and just, you know, went into the season and hey, he's on it. But they're waiting until at least week 7 where he can practice. So that's how that works. Obviously, we want him to play this season at some point. So that's just kind of how that works.
I mean, pessimistic me, I'm not even sure if he's ready week 7, because I also want him back. I want Bakhtiari back healthy as soon as possible, but I'm also trying not to get overly optimistic. And again, I think maybe it gets easier for us. We're on the sidelines, but like I think for the team, it's really preparing for life without him. And that way, if you get him, it's a bonus and it's just going to boost things from there. But I really do think the way they set this up, you know, I think, okay, so we'll talk about the names that they kept. And I think we were discussing, Jesse, how many they would keep. Are they going to keep 7 or 8? Really, it was the question. I think you almost said, I don't know if it was last episode or the episode before, you actually thought they would only keep 7, thinking they might sneak someone to the practice squad. I mean, I guess they did put someone on the practice squad, but it turns out to not be 7 or 8 even. They actually end up keeping 9 offensive linemen. 10, including Bakhtiari, but him being on the PUP list, take him out, there's 9 offensive linemen currently on the active roster.
I didn't think 9. Now, the Dennis Kelly situation, I'm surprised with him because he's been injured. So I thought maybe they would have, you know, PUP'd him. But, yeah, 9 really surprises me. And one of the cuts was the one that I'm like, I can't believe they cut him. We can go through the names, but, you know, Jake Hansen is the wild card where I didn't think he was going to make this team. I thought he'd be on the practice squad again, like he was last year.
A sixth round pick last year, right? So in his second season, he makes it. But yeah, so I think of the nine on the active roster, I think four were obvious. Four had their spots locked up. Obviously, Elgton Jenkins, they just drafted Josh Myers, and it seems like from day one, he's going to be the starting center. And then Billy Turner, Dennis Kelly. Kelly gives them tackle depth and gives them a tackle. That might even be the starting right tackle. And Turner, like Jenkins, can kind of be used all over the place. So you've got two guys that, you know, one's a veteran excelling at his position, and there's a rookie, highly talented, highly touted at his position, and then two versatile linemen. So it's a good solid four, and then you figure out who that fifth guy is. And there's really five players that could be that fifth guy. You've already mentioned Jake Hansen. There's also Joshua Niemann, and that seems more tackle depth. Like, that's very specifically if Kelly or Jenkins or Turner, like, I feel like for Niemann to get on the field, it's two of those three have to get hurt, and then he'll be a tackle with whoever's the other healthy one. But I feel like Jenkins, Turner, and Kelly, like, you got three guys that can play tackles, whether it's right, left, you know, you've got at least got three perimeter offensive linemen, and Neiman's probably just going to be the backup to them, and right now the fourth tackle. And really, to me, it's, you know, Hansen, Royce Newman, Lucas Patrick, and John Runyon, all four kind of competing for a starting job. I think where the expectation is it's not going to be Hansen. I don't know if they actually like Hansen specifically as the backup center. I don't know if that's kind of what they've been thinking, that, you know, that even though Jenkins can do it, Turner can do it, Patrick can do it, maybe they want specifically Myers, Hansen as the two centers, and everyone else they can kind of use as they need. But yeah, it does feel like Royce Newman, Lucas Patrick, John Runyon are all fighting for what I expect is the left guard spot.
Royce Newman's going to start. I don't see any question. He separated himself. He was the highest graded lineman every single week for the Packers. The kid's good. I honestly think we got another Elgton Jenkins style guy with him, because they put him out at tackle. He did okay a little bit, but he might be right guard too. I thought it was going to be left the whole time, but they used him on the right side the last two preseason games, and he kicked everybody's butt. The Bills last preseason game, they played their starters, especially on the D line, into the fourth quarter. Crazy as it sounds, they did. And he kicked their butt. I mean, Ed Oliver, who was a top 10 pick last year, he wore him out. Royce Newman's going to start. I don't even think it's close. JRJ, John Runyon Jr. is going to, I think, be the backup inside guy at both guard spots. And I think you're 100% right. They kept Jake Hansen just so they don't have to play any more musical chairs in case something happens. I think he's only there to be center. And I thought he struggled at times. Like I said, I'm surprised he's there, but maybe they just want him to be a true center and not have to worry about anything else. So that's the only thing I can think of why he's there. But yeah, everything else you said, I agree. You know, you got your swing tackles. Niemann is the backup to the other swing backups, I guess, because I think Kelly's going to get the first shot at as the sixth guy. So yeah, interesting, but looks like the Packers are going to start two rookies on the line, and I don't think they're missing really a beat.
I think for sure we know Josh Myers is the starting center. That might actually, now you're making me question, that might be the only thing we know at this point for the offensive line in terms of who's going to be the week one starters and who's going to be playing where. So I guess, like, okay, so process of elimination, I think the guards, like, you almost throw in, like, okay, so I think Newman's going to be a guard. Whether it's left side or right side, he seems like he's going to be a guard, and Myers a center. So they'll be next to each other. Not that Myers will be surrounded by two rookies, but it seems like Newman's at least going to be a guard. So you're thinking right side right now?
Yeah, I am. And the only reason why I think that, because I think instead of messing with them playing both ways, when Bakhtiari comes back, Jenkins is going to kick back to left guard. So instead of when Bach does come back, whenever it is, hopefully sooner than later, you know, you can just slide Jenkins over one spot. You have the best, you know, left side in the league easily, you know, and then Royce Newman can settle down and he can just control his spot at right guard the whole time. And, you know, you got a guy like Lucas Patrick who showed last year, he's just a grinder, might not be the greatest, but you have some experience with him. I think they're probably going to try to work him at left guard unless John Runyon and him battle it out this next week. But yeah, I really feel like Newman's going to hold down the right guard, which is different than I thought last week. So,
okay, yeah, this is interesting. And maybe, because I was thinking Kelly was going to start at right tackle. I guess maybe that was the assumption I was making. But now, you're kind of making it sound like, and again, maybe this, they won't have a choice if he's hurt, then it's definitely Billy Turner at right tackle. I was thinking Turner might play at guard this year, but you know, Turner at tackle does leave, again, the both guard spots open with Newman and Patrick. Okay, so it seems like until Bakhtiari gets back, Jenkins will be the left tackle. Doesn't sound like they found anyone that they like more than that, and that's the most important position on the offensive line. They're just saying, we're sticking our best guy there.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, Kelly hasn't practiced in like almost 3 weeks. So yeah, they kept him thinking, I'm sure he's going to be ready to go. But right at this point, it's Billy Turner at right tackle. But yeah, that's what we thought, you know, coming in when they got Kelly. You know, Billy Turner can play guard. You got Kelly out there to be the safe spot. But again, it's availability. You're not healthy. You got to go with the guys that can play.
Now it making sense why they kept nine, especially if they think they're only going to have eight healthy to start. So, but clearly they believe enough in Kelly's talent. And I think, you know, Newman's going to be put in a place to succeed next to Billy Turner, he's also someone he can learn from playing guard, but also excellent with his tackle play. And I think actually if Lucas Patrick's starting, that makes more sense to me why they keep Hansen. Especially I think Patrick's going to start week one. They'd want Hansen as the backup center, because if they're going to keep Patrick anyway and he's not going to start, he would make most sense as the backup center, I would think, over Hansen, especially backup center to a rookie. I feel like you'd want a veteran and not Hansen, who's barely played. Like, I know he's 1 year more in the NFL than Myers, but again, practice squad doesn't have much playing experience on the active roster. So, but if Patrick's starting, then that makes more sense to me. So we could see Hansen active week one. And again, just there in case Myers goes down, they could just easily put him in the lineup, I guess. And you know, I guess that you're going to do that with Runyon. Okay, if a guard goes down, Runyon's in. If a tackle goes in, Neiman's in. We're not, like you said, not going to bother messing around with things. So I guess with Jenkins is, we love his versatility, but it seems like until Bakhtiari's back, his greatest weapon won't be his versatility. His greatest weapon will be his ability to play left tackle and that consistency there. So, yeah, this year I feel like we're going to see Jenkins move around a lot less. It's, you know, once Bach's back, then we could maybe see, he might just stay at left tackle, like you said, or left guard, and just make maybe the most solid left side of any offensive line in the league. So, yeah, I expect Jenkins maybe might only, like, unlike last year where he played all five offensive line positions last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did, you know. But yeah, I think this year he's our best lineman. The Packers are high right now with Bach being out. He's our best lineman. You put him at the best spot, you know, in the most important spot. And I think he's going to be just fine. So yeah, like you said, last year he played everywhere because we needed him. This line, you know, losing Corey Linsley, that's, you know, you're losing an all pro, but overall depth, I think this line is just as good. So I hate that we don't have Bach, but guess what? I think we are going to be okay. And we play some pretty good D lines coming up, you know, the first 7 weeks in the pack. Is that comfortable with rookies and Elton Jenkins? That says a lot.
Yeah, I feel like Jenkins, yeah, we'll play all five offensive line positions like he did last year. I figure he probably will only play two. If they're really, like, you know, set on having Hansen come up here, they're not going to move Jenkins in to center if Myers gets hurt, if Bach's back at that point. So it really is, he's either going to be left tackle or left guard is probably likely, and probably just play those two spots. Well, we'll see. I suppose maybe if enough injuries happen at tackles, I could see him maybe playing right tackle as well at some point this year. Again, we're not hoping for injuries, but just, you know, that's hoping that I'm hoping he just plays the two spots, left tackle and then left guard once Bakhtiari's back.
Yep, I agree. You know, the more positions he plays, the more guys that went down. So let's not even worry about that.
Now we're moving from the offensive line to the defensive line. Everything in the trenches. The Packers kept six defensive linemen. Names you were saying and bringing up, Jesse, so I don't think there's any surprises here, really. I think maybe we were thinking they might only keep five, but it seemed like there were six players that really were kind of maybe fighting for either five or six spots. It turns out all six made it, so obviously Kenny Clark's there. Kingsley Keke, Dean Lowry, Jack Heflin, Tyler Lancaster, and TJ Slayton. So I don't know do we really even need to mention anything about the defensive line? Because I know you've talked up Heflin and Slayton quite a bit, and they both made the team, and it seems like, you know, it seems like they really separated themselves. Like the defensive line decision, once they decided they were going to keep six, was pretty easy who the top six were.
all I got to say is it's 16 years in a row the Green Bay Packers have kept an undrafted free agent that made the 53-man roster, and Jack Heflin, good for you. All that guy does, you know, walk on to Northern Iowa, comes into Iowa, starts, and then, you know, doesn't get drafted, walks into Green Bay, kicks butt, earns a spot. Good for him. That's awesome. That's the kind of guys we want around. So keep the tradition going. Undrafted guy making the roster. Good for him.
It worked for Barnes last year. That worked really great for the Packers, that one. So I don't know if Heflin's going to make that much of an impact, but they could have easily put him on the practice squad, and they decided to keep him. So, that's, yeah, good for Heflin, and maybe he's a part of that missing piece on the defensive line that we're looking for just that little bit more, one more guy to step up. And, you know, we think the favorite this year is Kiki, but Slayton, Heflin, maybe either of them could bring in some X factor to that D-line as well.
Right. And I mean, you just need bodies there for depth, because the last couple of years we've been overworking Kenny Clark, and it's hard, you know, especially with Kenny, the last couple of years got injured and took time to get back. If you got other bodies that can step in and just eat up snaps, and of course they're not going to be Kenny Clark, but they can free him up a little bit and you're not missing much, especially with high effort guys like Slayton and Heflin, that's great to have, you know, give them, you know, 10 to 20 snaps a game. They can come in there, do what they got to do. You know, when you look at this roster overall, D-line the last couple of years, where behind Clark, you didn't have a lot of depth or guys that can help. So hopefully these guys can, you know, they're young players, but by the end of the year, they can contribute. So I like this group. I just like the mentality of this group and how these guys play. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Moving on to the linebackers now, they kept 10 linebackers, and I mean, they really do on the depth chart have it divided 5 and 5, 5 inside guys, 5 outside guys. You know, Kamal Martin, it seemed like he was going to be the go between, maybe try both, and he obviously didn't make the roster at all. And so, yeah, I think, I don't know, I guess the, you know, of the 5 outside and of the 5 inside, really, there were 4 players at each that seemed like they were obviously going to make it. And then really the last spots, a couple guys were fighting over a few spots. So starting with the inside, we were already talking about undrafted free agent Chris Barnes and Devondre Campbell look to be the starting 2 inside linebackers. You got Oren Burks, Ty Summers behind them. And really that 5th spot was kind of up for grabs, and Isaiah McDuffie ends up winning it. So any thoughts about the inside linebacking group, Jesse?
I said on Twitter last Saturday after the game, McDuffie's making this team, and that kid's going to be good against the Bills. that kid belongs in the NFL. He is a tackling machine. He is around the ball. He was awesome. He was awesome. He had 6 tackles, 9 overall tackles, 6 solos, 2 behind the line of scrimmage. I think he had a sack too, but every play he was winning. He's really good. I love the upside of this kid. And, you know, he was hurt most of the camp. So that was his first game. He really got a lot of action and he took advantage of it. I like it. I like it. He's a lighter linebacker. Joe Barry likes these light, quick linebackers that can run around. Of course, Campbell and Barnes are going to start. But if something happens, this kid might get snaps and you might have another gem like Barnes last year. So I look forward to seeing him down the road.
Because, I mean, like Burks and Summers, you know, they're listed 3-4 right now. But, yeah, they haven't really – either's really not done enough in the NFL to say they've got those jobs without – like, it does seem like it's the top 2, and then these 3 are kind of fighting. Who's going to be number 3, really? It could be any of them, like you're saying. It could be McDuffie. So, good call there, Jesse. I think you've nailed most of this roster. I don't know if you did a 53 projection or prediction, but you probably would have been pretty close.
Yeah, well, Ben Braden was one I was super high on, so I'm still kind of hung up on that one. So overall, yeah, I think a lot of these guys, but McDuffie was one I thought they would sneak on for sure.
So far, the only surprise I think we're saying is Hanson at this point, and because I don't know that we were necessarily surprised Malik Taylor made it. I might have even called it as like between him and St. Brown were like in my mind the 2 obvious ones. I know you were kind of influencing me a little bit with Winifrey, but I don't think we were shocked at all to see Taylor make it, but maybe a little more so to see Hanson.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So yeah, I agree.
And I'll be honest, the other player that made it that I was a little surprised about was the 5th outside linebacker. Again, the top 4 were obvious, the Smith brothers, Preston, Zadarius, who aren't brothers, by the way. I don't know if we have to officially say it to everyone just to avoid confusion. Rashawn Gary, he might actually be the starter. Well, again, Za'Darius Smith dealing with an injury right now, so regardless, it might Gary might be the starter, like, unquestioned. But even once Za'Darius Smith comes back, you know, I don't see them taking Gary off the field very often. But then also Jonathan Garvin, so good rotation going. And then Chauncey Rivers, to me, he was maybe the surprise to make it here. I don't know how you felt about Rivers.
Yeah, big time surprise. Well, the fifth guy, I didn't know who was going to make it. You know, no one really looked like they stepped up. And now this is a spot, especially with Z being hurt. I think this is a spot where we might be shifting through other rosters and might bring in, you know, for depth, another outside guy. Because I think our top three, when Z's healthy, our top three is awesome. I mean, Preston's looking great this year so far. You know, Gary's going to explode on the scene. Trust me, this Gary is going to be a household name. But with Z being hurt, it's not as deep as we want it to be. So good for Rivers to make the roster. But yeah, I didn't see it. You know, that fifth spot, nobody really stood out. So I could see them combing through and maybe adding a body here. Still, you know, you have like another week where we're looking around. There might be a trade. Bring in somebody. So, yeah, right now that spot is kind of open, in my opinion.
And I'm looking at the practice squad. I don't see any strict outside linebackers on the practice squad. So if they do get help, it will seem like it'll have to be in the form of a veteran free agent, which maybe leaves room to have Chauncey Rivers on the practice squad. They've got Willington Prevalon. I guess he's, but technically you can count him as a pass rusher, edge rusher type. But yeah, they don't really have that outside linebacker on the practice squad. So maybe that is set for Rivers to be there once they find that veteran they want. So yeah, while dude, surprised he made it, you know, to me, he and Hansen again are probably those first two to go down to the practice squad. But again, if you really want Hansen as the backup center, then it's going to be very specific players that they will, you know, they'll bring in to replace him. Whereas it seems like with Rivers, maybe even if it's not an outside linebacker, if they just want a veteran defensive player really at any position, he might be the odd man out, especially if Za'Darius Smith's injury isn't too serious.
Yeah. It all depends how Joe Barry attacks. You know, like you look at his defenses, you know, he wants to play more base this year, but you're going to have Gary and both the Smiths on the field. So you're going to need that depth piece in case a guy goes down or something. They did sneak Tipa. I don't even want to say his last name. Galeu. I can't even say it, but they did get him on the practice squad, but I think he's a little bit light and it didn't look like he added much power to hold the edge, you know, right now for the NFL level. So he's on the practice squad, but again, they might bring a guy in, so that it'll be interesting over the next couple days, you know, if you see some moving parts still.
So now moving on to the defensive secondary and the defensive backfield. They kept 10 defensive backs, actually. So 6 corners, 4 safeties. I think once again the trade started happening and, you know, certain players got put on injured reserve. I think really the 4 safeties especially were, I think, pretty obvious. Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, Henry Black, Vernon Scott. It seemed like it was those 4 by quite a margin. Will Redmond was, again, the only one that could maybe come close. Not that I would think so. I'm not a fan. But, I mean, once he got injured, it really just solidified, okay, these are the top 4, and it's no one's even close. So, yeah, look for Scott and Black to get on the field. But, I mean, I saw there were games last year looking to the box scores and stuff where Amos and Savage both played 100% of the snaps. They could, they're just going to be out there so much. And I know one thing we were talked about a few episodes ago, I don't know if we've had any clarity on it, cause I really haven't seen anything either mentioned about who this is going to be, but like the defensive play caller. And I know your favorite was actually Amos, and just thinking that if he's playing 100% of the snaps, such a smart, intelligent player, like it would make sense for it to be him. So I don't know have you heard anything at all about if the Amos has that role or if it's going to a linebacker?
Not a peep. They have kept that quiet. They, even the star position that Joe Barry really likes, it looks like Savage might be this front runner where, you know, he can go cover, you know, that nickel and dime stuff, but and move him around and just, you know, kind of play that rover. But even that, we don't know. And that's good. You know, they're not showing their cards, but nobody knows. And like you said, Henry Black and Vernon Scott, Henry Black is a tackling machine. This guy can come up and hit. So that's good to have some tackling on the back end with Amos and Savage. And Vernon Scott, he flashes. So hopefully he can take that second year leap. Christian Uphoff was a guy that I really liked. You know, another undrafted guy. I didn't think maybe he would make the roster other than he was really good on special teams. And that's the only guy that is not on our practice squad that I really liked. And I'm kind of sad we didn't get to keep him because I think he has some upside. You know, maybe never a great starter, but this guy might be a really good special teams in depth guy. So, but yeah, we're going to keep four there. I like the four we have. Just stay healthy on the back end. And our starting two is just fine.
And then six corners, again, the amount that they play with a nickel corner, sometimes even a dime corner. You know, maybe you get five of these guys on the field at a time. Who knows? But, you know, Jaire Alexander, Kevin King, for sure making it. The first round pick, Eric Stokes. The other rookie, Shamar, Gene Charles, Chandon Sullivan, who does Sullivan seem like he's the favorite again to be the slot corner, or has someone emerged? I know it seemed like between him and Shamar, Gene Charles, it's going to be like a rotation between those two, but is there a favorite to start between them?
I think it's still Sully's right now. I do. Shamar, I think, you know, going to be the future there eventually, but he's still young. You know, it's a big leap. He played at App State and he played really well there, but it's a big jump yet. You know, he might get snaps, but I think it's still Sullivan's spot.
So it's funny, you've got Alexander set, and then you've got King and Stokes kind of fighting for a spot. Sullivan, Gene Charles fighting for a spot. And, you know, we think going to the veterans, Kevin King, Chandon Sullivan to start the season. But that could be something that if the rookies impress enough, maybe they push for snaps. The sixth guy, by the way, is Isaac Yadam, who they traded for from the Giants. That was the Josh Jackson trade. I know they made a couple of trades of corners. They traded away Kadar Hallman as well to the Texans, and they got a draft pick out of that, and the Texans ended up cutting Hallman. I looked at that. So the Packers basically just got a free draft pick from the Texans, which I suppose is the, you know, it's the Bears pick. So, you know, I don't want to think about this, but that literally could be the Mr. Irrelevant pick. Like if Fields is as good as I think he is, it might not be.
No way.
I still think the Packers are winning this division. If there's an NFC North team winning the Super Bowl, it's probably the Packers, but yeah, there's a good defense in Chicago.
I don't know if you saw that, but the Bears looks like they're keeping nine inside linebackers and they don't have any cornerbacks. So,
well, I guess maybe they could use Isaac Yadam, maybe, or Kadar Hallman. I don't. Do you know if Josh Jackson made the Giants team? I forgot to check for that. Like, if he actually made that roster.
Okay, he did.
Well, sorry, Giants.
Well, after Yadam, how he looks in the last game, I don't know who's better. So that was basically a pretty even swap, and hopefully we don't see a lot of that.
Well, and again, maybe thinking like Chauncey Rivers a little, maybe Yadam's that kind of that last guy. Okay, you made the team, but final year of a rookie contract, like I'm pretty sure there's nothing guaranteed anymore. So the Packers can just at any point move on if they feel like they want to, right? If they need that extra roster spot. So like looking, I think at those two as Rivers and Yadam are probably the last ones, because I don't see them, you know, cutting Heflin, cutting Slayton to take a shot on a guy. You know, if they were going to cut Lowry or Lancaster, they would have done it by now. They would have saved money doing it before the initial 53. So it seems like those two, especially on the defensive side.
Yeah, those guys are still like, you know, they might have, you know, breathed their sigh of relief to be on the 53, but that could change tomorrow. And, you know, it's a tough business. You know, I don't want to see anybody lose their job, obviously. But yeah, if they find something that they can improve somewhere, those guys are the first guys to get cut. And I mean, if you look at game day too, you know, you're not suiting all 53. I don't see those guys suiting up right away either.
Yeah, get them, let them learn the system. Even though Heflin's active as the UDFA, he might not be, you know, game day active, because I think it's only 39 of the 53 that are allowed to be active on game day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Anyway, so moving on from the active roster to the practice squad now. I've already mentioned a few names. We've talked about the receivers. There's, there's four receivers on the practice squad. That's a quarter of the practice squad. I guess just quickly, some of the like impressive names to me were, I guess we talked about the defensive backfield just now, staying there. Kabion Ento. Like, I guess really that was kind of the main competition for Yadam, really, to make that final spot. And they decided to go with Yadam. I think maybe just a veteran, not that he's had great experience, but at least he has experience with Ento. They could sneak him on the practice squad. Seems like he made it, so I don't think his future's done with the Packers either. That could be something, like he might have a shot to make this team next year, or because I'm looking right now, I don't see any other corners on the practice squad. So if someone does get hurt, it seems like he's the first corner to be called up.
Yeah, I think they like him. He made a lot of mistakes. The talent is there. I think a lot of it is the mental, and the game was just a little bit fast for him. So yeah, throw him on the practice squad, let him get some experience, let him learn. And that's a guy I think they liked, you know, so it, not ready to trust him out there on game day, makes sense, but he's still around. So his future still might be with the Packers.
And I mean, the only other defensive back on the practice squad is Innis Gaines. So I know you were a little surprised to see Gaines make it over Uphoff.
Yeah, out of the both of them, I would have went the other way. That was my surprise there. But hey, maybe someone else plucked him. I didn't look at it. You know, he might not have made it through waivers. And if he didn't, good for him, because he looked really good as a gunner and stuff like that. The kid did shine. So maybe someone grabbed him.
A few other things we touched on. So I mentioned Willington Prevalon made it. Galilee as an edge rusher. You've got Wei Rilborn as the inside linebacker. And then to round out the defense on the practice squad, you've also got Abdullah Anderson. So a couple of defensive linemen in Prevalon and Anderson. I know you were liking Prevalon as maybe a chance to make that six, but I think Heflein kind of proved himself to be better. And again, keeps the undrafted streak alive.
Right.
Now, looking at the offense, again, we've talked about the wide receivers. I think a player that we were all excited about, certainly Aaron Rodgers was, but Bronson Kufusi, that tight end. So they couldn't, I mean, they kept five, right? Well, technically, again, suspension. Sternberger maybe not be long for the team, but they really couldn't keep six, and he, you know, still eligible. The Bills didn't pick him up, and he didn't follow Kumerow and all the other players. Seems like the Packers apparently like that go to Buffalo. So, and they could use the tight end help, it seems. So that wouldn't have been totally shocking to see that, but at least he's on the practice squad for now. So we'll see about that.
Yeah, and that's a guy that I think, you know, he came into the league as an edge rusher. So I think, you know, there's talent there. It's just you got to groom him. So, yeah, it's good to have him around. A little bit older, but, yeah, a guy to have around. And speaking of Kumerow, he did make the 53. So, and he had awesome hair again last week. So I know Aaron Rodgers and him did a little pregame love. So that's his boy.
The other former CFLer, Duke Williams, I was hoping he'd make it too. It's like Bonifon, he didn't. Now, yeah, I'm just, again, going through the squad. So Patrick Taylor made it. So, like, Dexter Williams didn't even make the practice squad. It seems like they're just done with him. Dropped him like he drops all the targets that ever get thrown towards him. So, but yeah, Patrick Taylor on the practice squad. I mean, again, I'm not the biggest fan. I wasn't crazy about the tape. I think there's some talent. There's tons of talented running backs out there. So I don't think it was really a worry. I mean, it's nice to have him on, but that could also be something that they could be churning and constantly looking for who's the next best running back. So, and then I guess offensive line. They kept three offensive linemen on the practice squad. Jacob Capra, Cole Van Lannen, both kind of presenting some versatility. Are they tackles? Are they guards? Seems like, I mean, the Packers have them both listed as both. And then would we say this was the biggest surprise cut being Ben Braden, especially thinking he would make it over Hanson? And it seemed like he was getting some work at tackle in the preseason. So if unless he was awful, there was maybe even a chance he could have made it over Josh Neiman. But Ben Braden gets put on the practice squad, not making the team. So you've already hinted at it, but you can go into detail now about your surprise that he didn't make this team.
Yeah, so first of all, with the Capra and Cole Van Lannen, you know, Wisconsin favorite right there. I think this is more of like a red shirt kind of thing where they're going to work them. Adam Stenovich can move them around. I don't see them getting plucked by anybody. And Ben Braden, that's a guy that got cut, which I was surprised. Now, hey, maybe in the next 10 days, someone might be trying to pluck him off our practice squad. We might just have to sign him to the active roster and then move him around. So we snuck him under the radar there. This guy can play in the NFL. This is an NFL quality player. Yeah, he might not be, you know, above, I think maybe an average starter, you know, at least a depth piece. So I think he'd be on some team's 53-man roster. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that was my surprise cut because he looked good. He's a bruiser. He's a big, you know, just a big, tough guy. that can play guard. And then when they put him at right tackle, he held his own. I mean, him and Royce Newman were kicking butt and taking names. So that was my surprise that, you know, he got cut, but I'm happy that he's on our practice squad for now. So we'll see.
I guess one last thing to touch on. It's funny. We couldn't have both of these in the same episode. I think that this last news kind of hit just shortly after we released our previous week's episode. We talked about, okay, Will Redman, you know, unfortunately got hurt and put on IR for the season. Not that we want to celebrate injuries, but we didn't really want Will Redman to make the team. And then the same thing happened to Devin Funchess. So somebody we didn't even mention at wide receiver. Also put on IR for the year, which is basically opt out last year, but that's two of the last 3 years that Devin Funchess finishes the year on IR. But more importantly, he's not on the Packers anymore. Again, I would have preferred if they had just released him after that incident on family night. Don't have to keep dwelling on that, but I'm happy Funchess is gone. I hope he never plays for the Packers again. I really don't even want to see him play in the NFL again. I hope he just goes away and we can just forever stop talking about him. But yeah, freaking Funchess is finally fleed the the fans' focus. Freaking Funchess.
I think freaking Funchess, like you call him, they did an injury settlement with him. So that means he can come back yet this year for somebody or us. So I hope you're right that he's not in Green Bay, but somebody can pick him up this year. That's why they did that injury settlement. So it's not a season ending. So hopefully he's not back in Green Bay. I'm with you on that. But you might see him around the league. But, hey, he hasn't played in 2 years, can't seem to stay healthy. You might be right.
He wasn't put on injured reserve. My mistake. It was an injury settlement. I'm sorry about that. I can't focus with Funchess, apparently.
You're right. Yeah, just leave that be. Let's talk about something more interesting that we didn't hit yet. J.K. Scott getting cut and us bringing in a new punter.
Right. I forgot. Okay, I forgot the specialist. Oh, why do we always forget the specialist? But yeah, it's not just offense, defense, folks. And thanks for keeping me on track here, Jesse. Mason Crosby, Hunter Bradley made the team. And place kicker and long snapper, never in doubt. They did actually have a kicker on the practice squad, J.J. Molson.
He will be starting for us next year, by the way, when Mason Crosby starts. That guy's really good.
So, okay, you're saying this is Crosby's last year then? You're calling that?
I think so. I really do. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I think they really like this Molson kid, and that's why they didn't have him kick at all in preseason. And they even let Crosby do a punt for some reason in the last preseason game.
Nah, he doesn't get the chance. And I mean, was it any worse than J.K. Scott? Some of his worst punts?
Yeah, let's just leave that be.
All right, so yeah, but I mean, again, I've liked Scott. I felt like some games he came up and really performed. Games where the offense was struggling, I remember he would like tilt field position at times. But I think the word, a big I word, inconsistencies, because some punts are just awful at times. So I think the Packers were kind of tired, and they actually brought in some competition for him, and they also cut that other player. So they had you know. I mean, three punters they were considering, but they were so distraught with what their punting situation is, they actually went out and made a trade to get a punter. So they got Corey... Oh, I should have practiced pronouncing this name. Borjaquez? Oh, boy. I'm going to need your help on this one, Jesse. But yes, they got... Borjaquez. We're going to go with that. And I'm sorry. The Packers' new punter. We'll hear it week one. Someone will announce it. But they basically all they did was they swapped a seventh for a sixth. So they just all it took was moving down one round in 2023, and they managed to get a punter. So hopefully he's more consistent than Scott.
Well, yeah. I don't even want to try to say the name, so I'm happy you butchered it. But Corey's coming in. You know, our head coach is really good friends with the guys at the Rams, so it was a nice little swap. But a lot of Rams fans from reading, they love this guy. This guy had a 70-yard punt. He was really good all preseason. He was consistent, not the inconsistent that we've had with J.K. Scott. So hopefully it stays that way. Just trying to improve the special teams that's been inconsistent. So if we can just get it to being average instead of, oh, my God, awful. We're going to be okay this year. Just stay healthy. But I love this roster so far. There's going to be a few more moves, but this is a good football team, folks. This is a really good football team.
Yeah, I think definitely should be competing for the division. And I guess one player I forgot to mention on the practice squad. Started the episode talking about quarterback. We'll actually end it with quarterback. Kirk Benkirk does make the practice squad. So no third quarterback on the active roster, but they do, you know, the Packers generally like always having a quarterback on the practice squad, especially, you know, now that it's 16 players and not just 10, even more reason to just always have that third guy. So not surprised there. And I mean, that's one position where generally they want the guys that know the system. So I would expect that, like, you know, like someone like Patrick Taylor, for instance, where I could see them really, okay, if they think there's another player that's talented at running back, maybe they bring him on the practice squad and let Taylor go, right? They're going to try and always churn for talent, where I think Ben Kirk's probably got that spot for the whole season. I don't really see them going after it, it's so cerebral, like the play and knowing the playbook and having to know the offense. Like, I feel like they really want him as that third guy.
Right. I'm sorry to Don Majkowski, but shout out to him. You know, he wanted his clone, Ben Kirk, to make the team, but he's still around in Green Bay. So, you know, practice squad, I think the kid has a huge arm. You know, Atlanta could have came and took him back because they liked him last year, and we got to keep him on our practice squad. So, yeah, I mean, there's no reason to have three on the roster. Heaven forbid something happens, we can promote him up. But let's just focus on Aaron Rodgers playing three quarters every game, and we're up by 40 and go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're always going to keep the focus here on the Packers and the Green Bay Packers in the, you know, this 2021 season upcoming. And for all updates, everything about the games, stay connected here at the Full Press Packers Pod. You can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Also, your co-hosts individually, Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. Of course, download the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. And right now, there's a lot of written content about, you know, 53-man rosters for a bunch of different teams. So if you want to, you know, get all that information in one convenient location, that is the Full Press Coverage app, which is, again, available for free. I want to shout out PA the Second. Let's just use the song Nah You as our intro and outro music. PA the Second can be followed on Twitter at @PA_IIOfficial. So officially here, officially the 53-man roster, 55. Maybe 54. Again, Sternberger may not be long for the team. Sorry, Sternberger. We always have to hate on a tight end, right? And right now, I guess it's him. But Jesse, any final, maybe positive thoughts for the Packers fans?
Yeah, next week when you hear from us, it will be a pregame against the Saints in Jacksonville. So go Pack, go!
Always love hearing that, especially this close to the season. We'll keep you all connected here on the Full Press Packers Pod.